Essay 22, The Golden Years, The Emergence of ECE Theory. The golden years of my scientific life have been the last 8 years. The phenomenal impact of ECE theory puts that beyond doubt. I refer to and remember the golden days, however, as those days in which I was first allowed the freedom to do original research on my own. The best remembered of which are summer 1973, when I returned from a scholarship in France to the Edward Davies Chemical Laboratories, EDCL, to the autumn of 1974, when I had been awarded my PhD. I have clung to that freedom ever since, because as James Joyce wrote in Dubliners, all else to me was ugly, monotonous child's play. In ancient Wales, the primal creator and giver of life was the Celtic half-god, Creia, Heron. The Arthurian Lady of the Lake, the half-goddess, Rhiannon, often took the form of a heron and gave Arthur the power of kingship. Excalibur was thrown back to her after the death of Arthur, and Creia, or Heron, repossessed the creative power from Rhiannon. Heron is the patron saint of all creative beings. Whether knowingly or not, Dylan Thomas took up this symbol in what both my predecessor on the civil list, the poet laureate-elect Vernon Watkins, and myself thought or think his greatest work, the powerful and mature poem Over Sir John's Hill. This supremely great work of literature was famously composed in 1948 in Larne, in the metaphysical style of John Donne and my two ancestors, Henry Vaughan and George Herbert. It was written before the lunge of night, in grave foreboding of a looming evil upon humankind, the atomic bomb with its universal, most fearful power of destruction. The last part of the final stanza is an elegy for all humankind, which has betrayed Heron. The heron, ankling the scaly lowlands of the waves, makes all the music. And I, who hear the tune of the slow Ware Willow River, grave, before the lunge of night, the notes on this time-shaken stone, for the sake of the souls of the slain birds sailing. There is wonderful and instantly memorable use of alliteration in the last line, which I first came across when I bought a copy of his collected poems from the Uplands Bookshop in Swansea as a young student. Dylan Thomas had a half-memory of the intricate medieval Singaneth of my ancestor Dafydd ap Gwilym. The years before the emergence of ECE theory had been ones of personal foreboding also. But gradually, at first, and with ever-quickening pace, the theory began to influence scientific thought across the world in an entirely new way. Not only were the ideas as radically new as young Thomas, something which I'd always wanted to achieve in science, but they were being taken up at Olympic pace through the ECE websites kindly created by a group of friends and intellectuals, the Alpha Institute of Advanced Study Group. The use of feedback software has made this objectively clear to all, as described in a previous essay. In the very conservative and intolerant mindset of natural philosophy, the use of websites was the only way forward. Otherwise, the theory would have been censored at birth out of existence. Only a very few physicists had the imagination to see what was happening back in 2003. Gradually, this small group overturned the whole of 20th century physics and, like Heron, created a powerful new natural philosophy. Gradually, it became clearer and clearer that the main ideas of 20th century physics were totally wrong, as recently admitted in a TV program by contemporary icons. Ideas can easily be totally wrong, even if they're repeated by thousands. Or more accurately, particularly if they're repeated by thousands. The reason is that so few bother to study the source papers. In some instances, such as general relativity, no one knows anymore where the source can be found. The ideas come across so confidently on TV screens. And TV can never be wrong. After the program is over, switch to cricket, none the wiser. So ECE has reached the point where it is studied by visitors from all relevant universities in the world, by all major corporations, all relevant government departments, and by over 1.5 million individuals. Sometimes it's difficult to believe that one is not watching feedback to a rugby or baseball website, but a highbrow website full of intricate thought, thought as intricate as any page of the Book of Kells. Perhaps people are fascinated by intricacy, as the scribes were in their simple stone scriptorium on Wild Iona. However, after 8 years, the millions are still there and ever increasing. About 6 scholars have developed a complete grasp of ECE and are able to apply it themselves in many new directions, being accomplished scribes in their own right. The world of conventional physics looks back at us with fascination now, through the windows of feedback software, rather than look back in anger, or irritation, or stalking contempt. In the immortal words of all the ultra-conservatives who ever existed, there must be something in it after all. The author, lecturer, educator, and researcher, Kerry Pendergast, has just published a biography of yours truly, and is working on a new book, Crystal Spheres, describing the emergence of ECE theory in an objective way and putting it into historical context. In the history of physics, 8 years is a very short span of time, so this is a prime example of Kuhn's sudden paradigm shift, or as Kuhn put it, the essential tension. Some would say it's a paradigm war. Fortunately, physics is not war, the ugliest aspect of human nature. It is a rational and irreversible development of thought, based on a study of nature. In the wrong hands, physics can be used to produce terrible results, as described by Dylan Thomas. But in the right hands, it is enlightenment. And enlightenment comes to stay, it does not go away. So among real intellectuals, there is no going back to the 20th century.